So that's the goal going in.
Oh, they've captured you really well there. You're right in the mid-jump there, aren't you? Yeah. What do you think about this sudden interest and attention in you? And ladies like you?
I don't know. It's just like a bit surreal, really.
Paula Raines is a pioneer of women's football, although she's too modest to tell you that herself. She was part of the unofficial England team that travelled to Italy to take part in the first ever international women's football tournament. I've come to Southport on Merseyside in the northwest of England, where she now lives, although her playing days were spent in the south of the country, in Luton.
I've got four brothers, so I tended to drift towards football. You'd find me on the playing fields with the lads playing football rather than in the playground skipping and that.
When Paula was 11, a girl who lived on the same street as her told her about a women's football team she could join, the Chiltern Valley Ladies. Paula's mum didn't like the idea of her daughter playing football, but she let her go in the end.
I lived the other side of the town from where we played, and they used to have to get the bus over because my mum didn't drive, and go over for training in the week, but I never missed. And the one time I was late, I was put on the subs bench, you know, and I thought, oh, I'm not doing that again.
And what did you play? What was your...
Right wing was mostly. I suppose I was pretty fast in that. Crossed the ball okay.
The manager of the Chiltern Valley Ladies was a man called Harry Batt, and when Paula was only 14 years old, he invited her to join an unofficial England team he was putting together for a tournament in Italy.
Five of us were from Luton.
Right. Must be something in the water in Luton then.
It must be, yeah. Well, that was another big write-up they sent about us going over.
The five Luton lasses in the English team for the first European Ladies International Football Cup in Turin set off today, but not without problems. Earlier, Harry Batts at the High Ridge Luton, the man responsible for organising the English team, thought he would never get his girls to Italy. Their tickets had been delayed in the post and he knew they couldn't afford to buy new ones. Do you remember any of this?
No. Just turned up.
So you nearly didn't get there, basically. Yeah.
Lucky to make it to Italy at all, the team arrived for their first game in the Aosta Valley, high up in the Italian Alps. 3 years earlier, England's men had won the World Cup final. Now a team of English women, who the FA, the Football Association of England, refused to recognise, were ready to play.
What do you remember about the actual trip?
I remember the cows waking me up in the morning. All I could hear were these cowbells ringing, but I didn't know what it was. I thought, what is that noise? Obviously looked out the window and saw all the cows walking down the road, and I thought, okay.
Since they weren't an official team, they had no funding and had to get by on a shoestring budget.
All the other teams are in like tracksuits, fully kitted out, and we just turned up as we were because we weren't funded. You know, you're in your own clothes. And,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And what do you think about the outfits you're wearing then?
Awful.
And it mentions, Susan Tungate... 40, there's another 14, Paula Rayner, 14, Tina Oliver, 15, Mary Blake, 16, Valerie Cheshire, 22. So all very young.
Obviously Sue Lopez was there and Sue Bucket.
And Sue Lopez was the top scorer, wasn't she?
She was a top scorer, yeah. She actually went on to play for a team in Italy a little while afterwards, but I don't think she stayed out there very long.
Yeah. And team manager Harry Batt, what do you remember about him?
Oh, he was an icon, really. Yeah. He did an awful lot, but the FA weren't very good to him. He was actually banned by them in the end. He was just trying to promote women's football.
Yeah, yeah. And he says here, Luton van driver. He was a van driver, was it?
Yeah, but he spoke either five or seven languages, so, okay. You know.
Well, that probably helped him, didn't
it? Yeah, he certainly had a lot of contacts.
Harry Batt's renegade team lost their first game against Denmark, but won their second against France, played in Juventus' stadium in Turin. They finished third overall with Italy winning. When they got home, the press reception was warm, if a bit patronising.
It says Luton's five soccer heroines were back in town this week for a television appearance on Late Night Lineup. Well, that was a famous TV programme back then, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. And to show all their friends the trophy and medals they won in the Women's World Cup in Italy at the weekend. In Italy, they take ladies' football much more seriously, he says, than they do here. I mean, do you remember that? Do you remember them being a bit more serious?
Definitely, because I don't know which team it was, but the manager spoke to my mum because he was approached to see if I would go over and play for an Italian football team, and I was obviously too young to go.
What do you think about that? Do you wish you had?
Maybe, I don't know. It would have been an experience, I suppose.
They were saying they're hoping that this international success was going to spill over to make sure you got better gates at the regular matches. Did it? Do you remember it?
Oh, no. You used to get one man and his dog standing on the sideline. Yeah.
When you think back, the fact that you were... It says poor relations there, and you were earning pennies or nothing, actually.
Earning nothing, exactly.
What does it make you feel that that was the case, and that now, if it was 50 years later, you might be in a situation where you're earning money at it?
Well, I think that's it. We were just born too young, the ones that were playing then. Because women didn't get paid for playing football, you just, that was it, wasn't it? You just did it for the love of it.
There had been a time during the First World War and in the years that followed when women's football was so popular in Britain that crowds of more than 50,000 came to watch and women were able to play as professionals. Seemingly threatened, maybe appalled by the success, the government body of football in England, the FA, banned women's football from all clubs in 1921, saying the game of football is quite unsuitable for females and ought not to be encouraged. In the decades that followed, a similar ban was introduced by the governing bodies of football in most of the major footballing nations. When Paula went to play in Italy in 1969 with Harry Batt's England team, the English FA still had not lifted its ban. It wasn't until 1971 that they finally did. A year later, England and Scotland's women played their first official international match. And I'm on my way to Chorley, about 20 miles east of Southport, to meet the captain of the England women's team that day, Sheila Parker.
Oh, you've got lots of dogs.
Okay, well, let's have a look through some of your bits and bobs. You can take me through them and tell me what they are. So what's this then? There's a picture here of...
That's Japan.
Okay. And what, that'll be in the 70s, is it?
79.
79 in Japan.
That's where I was England captain.
Fantastic.
That was 81.
How long are you England captain for?
I think it were 33 caps. 72, I captained the first ever WFA England side with a 3-2 win over Scotland. That's Japan. So our kid is watching. Oh, there were the days.
Just like Paula, Sheila loved football when she was growing up.
I don't know why. It was just something, I think, in the heart that I enjoyed doing. It was just after school or weekends or nights. Used to go on the rec and just kick a ball around with the lads.
And what did the lads think of you, kicking the ball around? What did they think about
it? At first they thought it weird. And then after they'd seen me playing with them at the game, they thought, brilliant. When I left school, I went on to be a telephonist and still play football, but on a friendly basis with the lads. And then I joined girls' teams that eventually started in that era.
And what were the games like?
A proper team and we just play football. It was good. No fouling and just played for the enjoyment of it.
Sheila didn't know it at the time, but the FA were now looking at these games to find the players to include in the first official England side.
I've not a clue. I just got a letter asking me to go and play for England, which I was over the moon with.
The England women's first game was against Scotland. They played in Greenock at the start of winter with a layer of ice on the pitch. Sheila was the captain that day and England won.
The girls, the team, were just very happy that they'd won.
Yeah.
So plenty of smiles, plenty of chatting, nice brews. You know, and they just...
You didn't get drunk then?
Oh, no. Tea, coffee, biscuits.
Okay. Now, if you look back at some of the news coverage at the time, there wasn't a great deal about women's football generally, but you can find bits of it. They did a vox pop of just ordinary people in the street, and it was treated completely as a joke.
That's what I went through.
What would people say to you?
They'd laugh and say, what are you doing playing football?
Yeah.
You're not a lad. And I just used to say, because I enjoy playing the game.
In 2013, Sheila became one of only 13 women to be included into the FA's Hall of Fame, something that would have been almost unimaginable during her playing days in the 70s and 80s.
And what does it make you feel to be in a Hall of Fame?
Oh, absolutely. The best thing ever. It's given me back everything that I put into it. It's given it me back 10 times over. There were the days.
Yeah.
Can't bring them back, unfortunately.
Now, of course, the women who are playing football now, they're not quite in the world of men's football where there's masses of money at it and all the rest of it. But obviously it is a different world. Would you swap your time for now? Or
No. I preferred my time when I played it for the sport and the people that I met. You can never bring that back.
No.
And I loved it so much.
Paula, Sheila and thousands of other women of their generation played football for no money in front of tiny crowds at a time when large parts of society saw their efforts as a joke. Today, at last, women's football is beginning to be given the respect it deserves, and Paula and Sheila's generation are at last being recognised as the true pioneers that they are. This is Ashley Byrne for DW in the northwest of England.